Well, this morning I wanted to begin by just mentioning how every day we have choices that we need to make. We have choices that we face, and some of them are rather inconsequential. What tie I wear. You know, I looked in my closet this morning, and there's a stack of ties, and to be honest with you, I don't think anybody here is terribly concerned about which tie I wear, or if I even wore one in the first place. It's a choice I make. Doesn't really matter, as long as it's not, you know, bright orange, I suppose, with green neon stripes, you know, then it might be a concern to you. But many choices we make don't really matter much at all. And then there are some choices we make which have some serious consequences. You know, if you're looking to buy a home, which home you buy, if you're looking to go to school, what school you enroll in, those have some serious repercussions. And then, of course, there's some decisions that we make, some choices that we make, which are life-altering, right? The decision, if you will get married, and if so, to whom you would be married, is life-altering. What career path you choose is life-altering. So some choices are like that. Some are obvious choices to make. For example, I choose, you know, a Samsung phone over an Apple phone. You know, that's obvious, right? All right. I got a couple of amens there. Good. Joel's not too sure. And then there are others which, you know, it's really hard to know. It's really hard to know which way to go. And we need to spend much time seeking the Lord in prayer. But one thing is for sure, and this is the message I wanted to share with you this morning, and it's this, that the choices we make and the direction we take from the time we're teenagers and maybe even preteens and school-age kids and up, the choices you make will have a huge impact on where you end up in this journey called life. When we are young, we think that it doesn't matter what we do or what choices we make, and it'll all work out. But when we get older, we realize that the choices we make, even when we're 10 or 12 or 15 or 18 or 20 years old, have a huge impact upon us. And that's why we as a church need to pray for our young people. And we do. And we encourage you to pray for our young people. When I was a teenager, it was difficult, but it wasn't, man, by looking at life today, I had it easy as a teenager. Today there are so many voices calling upon us, trying to distract us and draw us, and it's hard to know which way to go. The more people you ask, the more opinions you get, and the more confused things sometimes become. So this morning, I wanted us to look into a psalm which gives us some instruction. It's a very basic instruction. It's not rocket science, but it's life science, life-altering instruction as to what it takes to live a life that brings blessing and fulfillment instead of disappointment and regret. Because that's what we want. We want fulfillment in life. We want to know that our life matters. We want to know that our life accomplished something, that something good happened, that we're pleased, that we're blessed. And blessed doesn't necessarily mean having everything, by the way. Blessed has to do with the presence of God in your life. As opposed to a life that leads to disappointment and regret, because we only have one shot at this here, and we want to go in the right direction. So we're going to look at Psalm 1, a very simple psalm that describes two types of people, and you can see the difference in it. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, it's pretty straightforward right there in the first two or three verses, describing a person, a man or a woman, who is blessed. And notice that the psalmist does not say that he is blessed because he got lucky. He isn't blessed because he won the lottery. He wasn't blessed because he was born into a good family, although a godly family and a godly heritage is a great asset to point someone in the right direction. He is not blessed because he gained an inheritance or was born with some super strength or intelligence. He isn't blessed because he has charm or charisma. He is blessed because of the way his life has made choices that have led him in the right direction. Namely, the things that he did do, and just as important, and maybe even more important, the things that he did not do. One of the great challenges we have today is, like, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you treat your body. It doesn't matter how you treat other people. It doesn't matter what you do here or there. Just look after yourself. Just satisfy yourself. Just do what you think is great. But the choices we make a profound difference in what happens down the road. And the time to make those choices is now. The blessed man, according to Psalm 1, did not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now think about that for a moment. So many voices around us telling us this is good, that is good, we should, you should. Are they godly voices? Are they people who are speaking from wisdom? The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the way of sinners. And we can spend a whole morning just trying to digest what that means, or sit in the seat of mockers. The long and short of it is, the man who is blessed, who lives a fulfilled life without regrets, is the man or woman who is careful who he is listening to and who he is allowing to influence him. That's what this is about. The people around us, the people that we walk with, stand with, sit with, who impact our lives, will have a great part in where we end up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 reminds us, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Of course, it doesn't do it all at once. And that's the sinister part about it all. It all looks innocent. It all looks good. It all looks like fun. But look at the progression. There's always a progression. Walking, standing, and sitting. You start off walking in a certain direction. You stand with certain people. And then sit. You've fully engaged with them. I think of Abraham's nephew Lot as a sadly perfect example of just this. You remember the story when Abraham and Lot needed to separate their ways, and Abraham said, whichever you go, whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. And Lot turned towards the city of corruption. Genesis chapter 13, verse 12 says, he pitched his tent near Sodom. And in my mind and in my notes, I underlined the word near. He knew enough not to go in there. He knew it was a wicked city. He knew that. And the scripture says he pitched his tent near. But then in the next chapter, it tells us in chapter 14, verse 12, that he was living in Sodom. So somewhere along the line, he decided that he would, you know, well, okay, this is fine. I got a little comfortable with that. Now I'm going to go the next step. And then in Genesis 19, verse 1, it tells us that Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, which means basically he has taken a role of responsibility there. So instead of being an outsider to somebody who was in, he became one of the people who were part of the leadership of the city. And there's a progression there. If it wasn't for his uncle Abraham, Lot would have never made it out. And in a somewhat similar way, the psalmist is using the same progression, walking in the counsel of the wicked, sitting in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of mockers. It's a slow progression. The truth is that sin will always call us in a slow manner. You know that to be true. If somebody said to you, you know, why don't you do this and it's going to ruin your life, it's going to ruin your marriage, it's going to make you lose your children, it's going to give you, destroy your health, and this is what's going to happen with you, you would say, forget that. I don't want any of that. Are you kidding me? But that's not the way sin works. It's like, well, you know, just a little bit of this, or why don't you think about this, and why don't you consider that, and well, maybe a little bit of this won't hurt you much, and that's the progression that sin takes us to. And so the psalmist is simply saying that the blessed man is a person who does not go down that path. Now I realize we can't always insulate ourselves from the world, nor should we. We're not called to live in seclusion, away from everybody. But we must certainly be careful not to be drawn into the world and become a part of it. According to Psalm 1, the blessed man is someone who doesn't go along with the world. See, the choices we make will have repercussions down the road. That's one part of being blessed. Being careful to avoid that which is harmful. But the other part is doing something positive. And that is there, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 2. See, it's not enough to just be on your guard and avoid certain things. The truth is we learn which path to take because we meditate on God's word. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. So if we're wondering, how do we live? What direction to take? Who should I listen to? Who should I allow to be an influence in my life? Well, God's word gives us some good instructions in that. God's word tells us how to live, and we can embrace it or we can ignore it. That's the choice we have. But if we embrace God's word, Scripture says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. There's an end result, a beautiful end result. Now, when it says whatever he does prospers, it doesn't mean that everything you touch is going to turn into gold. This isn't Midas here, okay? But what it simply means is that life will be fulfilling and satisfying, and God will provide for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Whatever he does prospers, blessed, provided for. We lack nothing. Doesn't mean that you have everything that the world says you should have, but of the things that matter, of the things that truly satisfy, we find blessing and peace. And so again, the choices we make as teenagers, as young adults, and even as older adults will have implications on us throughout our life. Verse 4 says that it's not always like that. There are some who choose a different path. Not so the wicked, the psalmist says. Unfortunately, there's always the other side of the coin, right? And people today like to think that there is no other side of the coin, that it's all good. Everything is good. You're good, I'm good, everybody is good, and we're all gonna do well in the end. And when the time comes, God is going to pat everybody on the back and say, "Ah, you tried, you did pretty good. You did maybe even more good than bad," and put you on the scales and say, "Sure, why not? Come on in, everybody. Live happily ever after." But that's not what God's word says. Not so the wicked. On the one hand, there are those who are careful to follow God's word and use it as a basis for living. They are like well-watered trees, strong, deeply rooted. They're firm. They're not going to blow over with everything that comes along. They're able to withstand the storms of life. We have friends. You have friends who are like that. I know some people who have been through some tremendous storms. I can't even imagine it. And yet they are walking faithfully with God. Not so the wicked. Those are the ones who turn away from the truth of God's word, and they are like chaff that the wind blows away. The chaff, for us non-farmers, is the part of the wheat that it's kind of like fluff, and it has no value, it's useless, it's tossed in the air, and the wind blows it away. It's discarded. And the psalmist is saying that's what life without God is like. It's all over the place. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. Sure, you can satisfy the pleasures of the sinful nature, but how long will that go? Well, it doesn't. It empties out pretty quick. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. That simply means that the wicked will not be able to stand up to judgment. When we stand before God, the wicked will be turned away. They will not be received. They will not be able to stand up or stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. You see, we are coming to a purpose. We have a purpose in life. And if we go our own way, do our own thing, follow the wisdom of the world, it's going to lead to emptiness. and it's going to lead to a life away from God and regret. But if we're wise and we follow God's way, God's word, if we avoid embracing the things of this world and the sin in this world, then we are like a tree planted by streams of water, strong, firm, rooted with a purpose, and yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. What a beautiful picture that is. The conclusion is there in verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's the bottom line. And again, that doesn't mean that the righteous won't have challenges. We know that they will. But God will be with them and see them through. And so the message this morning really comes down to this, and that the choices we make and the voices that we listen to will make all the difference in where we end up down the road. I've said it many times to my own children when they were young, and I've preached it as well. If you're following the crowd, chances are you're going in the wrong direction. Jesus once said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And that's the same message that we have in Psalm 1. There are two ways. One takes you on a road to life and blessing, and the other, well, not so good. The question is, which road do we want to be on? Which road do you want to be on? Which road are you on? Because one thing is for certain, the road you are on is taking you somewhere. And the message this morning is simply to look up and take a look. Where is it going? Where is it heading? And do I need to make a change in direction? The truth is, it doesn't take a lot of misalignment to go off the road. We need to constantly, when you're driving down the highway, you need to constantly be making tiny, minor little adjustments in that steering wheel, or else you're going to go off the road. And in life, we do that too. We're constantly making adjustments. But the question is, where is the road I'm on leading toward? We become so preoccupied with all the things of the world and all the pleasures and all the everything else that we forget to look at where we're actually headed. Friends, we need to stop and ask ourselves that question. Where is it going? Satan, God's enemy, our enemy, would have you think that the broad road is full of fun and laughter and freedom and fullness. But inevitably, it leads to death. It leads to a dead end. The two outcomes are very different. Don't think for a moment it makes no difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Either we will be blessed, live a life of fulfillment with little or no regret, holding on to strong biblical convictions, God's presence to guide us, God's word to light our way, or we're going to be going with the crowd, chasing after the latest and the greatest, always pursuing, but never satisfied. And yeah, we make mistakes along the way, and we do need to make minor adjustments. Sometimes we have to make a whole 180-degree turn, a U-turn. And so I want to encourage you this morning just to take a moment in your own heart and life and ask the Lord if there's minor adjustments that need to be made in your life to stay on the right path, or perhaps you need to make a big turn. I don't know. That's not for me to say. But it is for me to encourage you and remind you that there are only two ways. And the choices we make, the decisions we make, the things that we pursue, the things that we allow to embrace our heart and our love and our attention will most definitely impact where we end up down the road. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, I confess with all of us here this morning that it is so easy to get distracted by all the lights and glimmer of the world and all the things that are thrown at us. And Lord, the wisdom of the world. But Father God, you have a better place for us, a better way for us. And I pray, Father God, that for any one of us here or perhaps those who are with us online, Lord, that you would check our hearts and see, Lord, if there's any adjustments we need to make, or if we need to make a full stop and a radical turn in our lives, Lord, and turn and face you. Lord God, when the prodigal son turned back towards home, the father embraced him, welcomed him. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning or online who needs to turn their face right around and turn back to you. Maybe they've known you in the past and they've walked away and thought they'd pursue their own direction and their own wisdom and their own things. And Lord, it's not worked out and they know it. They know it's leading to a dead end, but it's so hard to get off that road. I pray, Father God, by your grace and presence, Lord God, that you'd enable them just to stop and turn around and face you and give their hearts and their lives back to you, Lord. Oh, what rejoicing there will be. And for many others, Lord God, who perhaps are seeking you, but there are things that pull us to the sides at times. Help us, Father, to fix our eyes on you and allow you, Lord, to work in us. Lord, may we experience the blessedness that Psalm 1 speaks about as we walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.